As we continue in our study of the prophecy of Isaiah here in chapter 49, today our text is verses 8 through 12, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 through 12. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways. On all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Now let me begin this morning by apologizing if this message is not all that it should be. Being sick most of the week, I found that most of the time my mind has been muddled and my attention span has been short. And of course, things weren't helped last night when we got back the positive COVID results. But that said, it's my prayer that the Lord will take the sorry messenger that I am and speak his message to us today. Of course, the preaching of the word is not a matter of earthly wisdom and refined rhetoric, but rather it is the working of the Holy Spirit as he empowers us to handle the word of God following his direction. Even at our best, none of us are adequate for the task at hand, but even the least of us can be used for his glory. Now I'm reminded as I say those words of the ministry of Howard Dossey, my armor bearer during my rookie years at Riverside. This man had very little in the way of worldly qualifications to commend him. He was a third grade dropout who suffered serious PTSD from his Korean War combat. He drove a city bus until he was medically retired. And as far as I knew, he only read one book in his entire life, and that was the King James Bible, and he'd read it through numerous times. In my early years here, I was constantly amazed at the wisdom that this man possessed, something which I could never attain in college or seminary. The reason why Howard was used by God was due to the fact that he was yielded to God and ever listening for his instruction. Now, as we continue here in chapter 49, we have just finished the second of the four servant songs in Isaiah. And even though the song itself ended at the end of verse 7, these verses relate to that servant as well. And the first thing that I want us to see is that the servant is a man of prayer. Here he receives refreshing from the Lord during a time of despondency, which we see described in verse 4. He may have labored in vain, but that laboring in vain is not in the area of his prayer. He has found in the time of favor an answer from the Lord. Now, an answer requires a prior request. No request, no answer. To think otherwise would be foolish. The servant receives an answer from the Lord because he has first prayed to the Lord. We will not receive an answer from the Lord unless we first go to him in prayer. He delights in our prayers, if they are prayed properly, for in them we show our complete dependence upon him. The servant, Christ Jesus himself, is also dependent upon the Father. Now this is due to the fact that he has always operated in concert from the Father from eternity past. You know, we do worship one God in three persons. We can't chop this perfect God up into pieces. He is one. There is a continual interdependence within the Trinity that we would do well to take notice of. If Jesus could do nothing apart from the Father, then why do we have the audacity to think that we can? No. As we see time after time in the Gospels, Jesus was a man of prayer. The servant of the Lord was and is a man of prayer. He receives an answer in the time of God's favor because he has asked. We find the blessings that his prayer brings. A blessing of security. The Lord will keep him. If you doubt anything else, do not doubt this. The Lord Jesus is secure in the love of his Father. And by extension, all who are in Christ share that same security. The covenant between us and God is found in Christ. He is the one who has established it, maintains it, and will completely fulfill it. He shall establish the Lamb and apportion a heritage to the desolate. He brings liberation to the captives. The prisoners come out from their bondage. The chains fall off. The prison doors burst open. And liberty is given to those who were once enslaved by sin. They come out of their dark dungeons and appear before their Lord. The prison doors were strong. The dungeon was deep. The jailer, sin and death, was strong. But the liberator is light. He reaches down into the deepest dungeon. He overpowers the strongest jailer. And he brings those who were captive into his glorious light. There he clothes them with his finest garments and makes them appear before the Father in victory. Don't underestimate just how strong the power of the prison was. It is darker and deeper and stronger and more terrifying than anything that we have ever faced. That prison of being dead in trespasses and sins was totally unescapable by us in our own power. As a result, we needed for our freedom to come to us by one who is brighter and higher and stronger and more glorious than anyone we have ever known, anyone the universe has ever known. There are no chains that he cannot break. Let that encourage you as we face these uncertain days. He liberates us. And as he does so, he provides for us. Even the barest height still contains sustenance for his children. No matter what path we're on, he feeds us along the way. We see the most beautiful description of his tender care in Psalm 23, which we read earlier today in response. He lies us down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our souls. Life and all that we need for life, even in that valley of the shadow of death, they all come from him. Here in his pasture there is neither hunger nor thirst. The elements cannot stop us. Now, I want us to be careful here. What is in view in these verses is the culmination of the work of the servant. Is it possible that we will wilt under scorching wind and sun along the way? Yes. What's happened in my life this week shows that to be true. But will the scorching wind and the sun totally destroy us? No, absolutely not. We may, in fact we will, face many, many, many dangers along the way. There will be times when we despair, even of life itself, just as the Apostle Paul did in 2 Corinthians 1:8. But as we see in the verses that follow, Paul stated that this came about in order that he not trust in self, but rather that he trust on Christ. We are going to face adversity. The roads are sometimes going to appear to be all uphill, rocky, and rough. But if Christ is leading us, we need not fear the pilgrimage, for he will give us the final victory. Then all the rough roads will be smoothed out. All the hills will be leveled. The scorching wind and the sun will no longer be a threat to the ones who are led beside springs of water. He leads, he provides, and he will give the victory to those who are his. As we saw earlier in this chapter, the servant's work is not limited to just those lost sheep of the tribes of Israel. He has something far greater in mind. He is delivering captives from prisons wherever they are located and whoever they contain. There will be those from afar, from north and from west, and even from the land of Syene. Now, note the scholars have difficulty in pinning down just exactly where Syene was or is. Some scholars argue that it's a way to describe Egypt. Some argue for the fact that it's an island in the Mediterranean. There are others that say that this is something that's speaking of a place as far away as China. Now, does it matter that we know exactly where Syene is? No. No, we don't need to know that. In fact, the ambiguity here is of great benefit to us. Are people from Syene to be found residing among the people of God? If not, then our task is not finished and the gospel still needs to go out into all the world. Doesn't matter where Syene is. There will be people from Syene in the kingdom, just there will be from every other nation. Now open this morning speaking of Howard Dossey. Howard was a simple man. And in that simplicity, God used him. Now two things could be said about Howard. He was a man of prayer, and he had the gospel on his lips. The same could be said for the servant. The servant, Christ, a man of prayer. He came to proclaim the gospel, the good news of salvation to lost sinners. Could the same be said of us? Are we people of prayer, knowing that nothing is impossible without the Father's blessing? Are we gospel people, proclaiming the good news that Christ delivers the captives from every land, even from the land of Syene? Think about it. Someone prayed for you, and someone brought the good news to you. We have an obligation to do the same for others. Not just in order that people be saved, as wonderful as that is, but in order that God be glorified and worshipped and honored in every corner of this world. And if you have Christ, then you have everything that you need to proclaim him. If you feel uncertain or inadequate, then go to him in prayer. Now, yes, it is helpful to know enough scripture to share the gospel, and hopefully you did the Bible study this morning. The Bible study was showing the gospel in the book of Romans, what verses they're often called the Roman road, that you can lead someone to Christ using those few verses that are found in the book of Romans. There are other approaches. There are other things you can learn in order to share the gospel. There are good tracks. And yes, it's helpful to know enough of those things to share the gospel. It's also a good thing sometimes to watch other people share the gospel in order to learn from them. But I want you to recognize the first disciples didn't need to go to a school of evangelism in order to bear witness to Christ. They shared what they had witnessed of him, that he had died from sin, was risen from the grave, and he is to be worshipped as God in the flesh. He is the one who has come to save us. If we were blind and now we see, then that is what we should be sharing. If we were lost and he has found us, then we need to tell others. If we were in a dark prison of sin and despair, and he has broken down the bars and has taken us out, then we need to share that victory with others. If we have repented of our sin, and put our trust in Christ, then we should call on others to repent and to believe as well. Now, there's never a bad time to share the gospel. I read something on Facebook the other day that said that the church is in retreat. And it was posted in the context that the outcome of an election shows the church is in retreat. I would argue the opposite. The church is advancing. And the enemy of God, the devil, is doing everything in his puny power to oppose it. As long as we measure Christian success in terms of political victories, then we are far off the mark. Success is always obedience to Christ, even when the days are dark. Success is seeing God build his kingdom through Christ, no matter what earthly kingdom we inhabit at the present. Do not lose hope. The Lion of the tribe of Judah wins. The Good Shepherd of our souls will never lose one of his sheep. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the advance of the church. The strongest prison will deliver its prisoners at his command. There is coming a day when every mountain will be leveled, every road will be smoothed, every pasture will be green, and every spring will be calm for the people of God. We may face challenges and difficulties along the way, sometimes terrible, terrible difficulties. But he will prevail, and he will deliver every single one upon whom he has set his love, and he will bring them safely into his kingdom. And he is calling for them even now, calling for people from every nation, to turn from their sin and repentance and to trust in him by faith. Here to the north, to the west, even to Syene, he is gathering a people to himself by the power of his might. Let us, as fellow travelers in his band, be faithful unto the end and obedient to him who has loved us. May God be glorified in this as we rejoice in his goodness.